We all eat and be merry and happy. Or reverse, whatever. Okay, so we're all here. It's good. We have a good crowd. So three main things we want to do today. The church is growing. Okay? That good? It's the church of Jesus Christ that we're talking about here. The body of believer. And that's good. Because so many churches are dying. A lot of places, all over the place. But we believe in the midst of darkness, we keep moving forward. Right? So the three announcements we're going to make is, the first one, my wife and I are leaving. Okay. So I tried to say it nicely. Maybe I missed that one. Okay. And I'll tell you why in a minute or whatever. And then the second one is Leonard and Sylvia are leaving. All right, some of you knew about that, but you're not as excited as about us leaving, right? Did you hear that? Yeah? Okay. But when things move and the church is growing, there's movement. And, you know, sometimes we don't really want the movement to happen because it mess up our house. How many would say that? Right. And the third one is we want to appoint Peter as an elder in the church. Okay? All right. So things are moving, so we let you know today. And I said, well, I might as well do everything together. Okay? And have the kids sing, introduce the new worship team. And then this one is moving. So it's a big Sunday. Big Sunday for us because I just want to explain. Okay? And I'm going to go into the Word. We got 45 minutes and I got an hour message. So I got to cut it down, right there? Okay, good. No, I do. And I just want to take you because I want to share from my heart. You won't hear me sharing much more anymore. For a whole year, you won't see us at all. Okay? So take a good look at us today. Remember us. And I want to explain. It's really good to explain, right? I just want to take you in one of my favorite chapters, and I know I preached on it. It's Matthew 8. And Matthew 8, verse 5. And you all know the passage because the passage is a military passage. And how many understand that the church of God, where do you think the military took it? About people in command, about people under them, and this centurion, which is an officer of the Roman army, come to Jesus in Matthew 8, verse 5. Why I choose that is because in this chapter, let's say if that's all the Word of God we would have is a story of the centurion. We have nothing else. We don't know nothing about Jesus. We don't know nothing about any Bible. All we got is about 9 verses here. There's enough ammunition in there for you to live your life and understand that this man was hungry for something and he came to someone who had the answer for him. It teaches us leadership. It teaches us faith. It teaches us everything that we needed for this life. So this man comes and he came to him and he pleaded with him. It's not just, Jesus, do you got 5 minutes? He pleaded with him. Anything you're going to get from God, you're going to have to plead for him. You're going to ask to say, God, I need it. I know that's your will. You're going to have to fight. And that's what he did. And he said, Lord, my servant lying home paralyzed, dreadful, tormented. That tells me that this man, under authority, which we're going to see, under people, he could see that his servant, just a nobody, and just I entitled that message, nobody. Just a nobody, not even his wife, his son, a servant of him he came crying for. That man is looking for God. He's looking for an answer. And he has faith inside because he understands leadership. And he understands that there's a move here that he can't do. Somebody else has to do it. And you know what? That's what happened to us here. We started, I know, 13 years ago. And my wife and I still remember scrubbing the carpet there. Remember the inks on with Varsal, and we just scrubbed the floor for days to get the ink out of the floor, out of the carpet. And you know, we built the church to a place where now it overridden a lot of breakdown, different people coming against us. Well, you name it, all the daily activity of the church. And And you know, like the thing about Cuba, all the men in the trench, you know, just hard-working core. And then a year and a half ago, we joined MFI, which is an awesome, that's what you're part of it, Ministers Fellowship. And we said, okay, now, you know, we had asked Pastor Travis to come for, or eventually take over. Well, that was supposed to be in a year, maybe two from now. So we're not ready to go. But the leadership says you must go. Okay? So I know you all want to crucify the leadership, right? But hold it. And you know, we fussed and kicked about that too. Because that's personal. This is the labor, the sweat of our brow. I forget how you say it. But anyway, it's very this place is very personal to us. See, some of you are standing here, sitting in a pew. Because we led you to Christ. We led your family to Christ. We prayed with people and delivered some of you. Some of you came here broken. And you're still here, and now you're unbroken. See, God used a nobody to do something. And I qualify myself, and me and my mom, maybe not my wife, but as a nobody. No, I guess you're a nobody too, right? And then we had people come in over the year, like Leonard and Sylvia, where they're leaving to follow the call of God to be into another church that God has brought to them. And that's okay. Because as long as the church grows, people move. They move because there's a purpose for growth. Because when they came in, I mean, they were so broken. Sylvia, you just say, how is it going? Sylvia, and she'd go on, and then the next week, and it would be less, and how much time we spend mentoring, working, and now, after a few years, dealt with the brokenness and the things that have happened in their life, because things happen, and now they are ready to move on. See, God used the nobody, and he makes somebody out of them. Through a working, for through a process. And you know what? And like this man here understood that when he has a command, he must obey it. Because some of those centurions had command to destroy Jerusalem. But they might have liked, they might have been Christian, but they had to do it because they were under authority. So when they said that about us, well, we kicked and fussed and, you know, I said, nah, I'll stay here, whatever. But then after that, I understood that we must move on. I must disappear out of the picture. My wife has to disappear in order for somebody else to appear. And that person will come, and I'm trusting totally that God will lead them to lead the church here, to and take the church to another level. So what is left with us is, what do we do? Where do we go? We don't totally know. That is fate. Where each one of us are taking it, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? How am I going to serve God? You know what? Forget about serving God. Just come, enjoy the fellowship, and you know what? Things will happen. You know how many people, how many know Judy Wilson? Is she here? Oh, she's upstairs. Well, there she is. She came in here, broken woman. Didn't want to do ministry. She had enough ministry and brokenness and all that stuff. And it's not the story of everybody, but it's the story of a lot of people. And you know what? We said, we need somebody in the nursery. She doesn't have to be there. That's not her place right now. But, you know, her heart, she just go for. And you know what? She stayed there so long, I forget how many years. It's like we forgot about her. But then the need came for another woman to lead the woman, and she stepped to the plate, and she did an awesome job. And, you know, she thought her life was finished. She thought that basically, you know, I've got a, went to a different church, something happened, whatever happened. Anyway, but now she's strong. How many women would say she's a leader? Okay. And maybe one day she has to move or go on and do something else. That's good, because we're bringing other people in the house. We're bringing other people that are broken, and we work with them. And our Heavenly Father does the work. Takes time. Much time. But He'll use a nobody and obedience. I remember Nathaniel. Yeah, see, I caught you talking there, right? You know, I consider you a nobody. And you should be proud of that. Because I saw the last 3 years of his life, it was like a yo-yo. In and out, and out, right? And one day he calls me and he's in Moncton. So I hear a story and, you know, he's crying and he doesn't want to be there. And so I just tell him, I said, hey, cool it. Just stay there. You know, maybe God has a plan for you there. You know, you just got to be patient. Remember, you're a nobody, so you can't expect too much. So he's in Moncton, Magnetic Hill place, and he meets a Magnetic Candace. Somehow they get attracted to one another. And God began to do something in a nobody. See, the piece of the puzzle that's missing is there. Because obedience kept him there. And, you know, I'll just follow God, just wait on God, whatever. And God's plan unveil. Sometimes we're running for God's plan while it's all there. We just got to walk in it somehow. We don't know. And the same for us now. We're stepping out in a couple of months. I'll still be here for 2 months. We don't know what's happening with our life. We don't know if we move. We don't know nothing. But it doesn't matter. What really matters is that we stay in God's plan. Okay? And the work that is prepared for us to do before the time began will be there. It will happen. So really now, we're really happy to leave. Because we thought about it, and we figure, well, it's not man's plan, it's God's plan. Right? So, all right. So we will be obedient. Okay? So this man here, He went through a lot of stuff here, talking to Jesus, and then his faith that he had in God really pulled the answer. You know what? That's why I'm so dogmatic about faith in our life, because it's going to pull something out of the Spirit through us. And you know, you can do the foolish thing in life. It doesn't matter. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to look up and say, okay, I'm done. You know. So I just want to say here today that we have three things to do. About us, we'll do that another time. There's going to be a party. That's what I told. In a couple of months or so. So we have time to talk and know our heart and whatever. But today is a party for Leonard and Sylvia. Okay, we just want to, in the spirit, release them. See, sometimes there's something you have to do in the spirit. Say, listen, okay, we say, and you know, from them going over there, and you know we were involved in Colburn for the last year. Why we went there is so our son could take the rain here. Is that the rain? Right. Because he didn't want to do nothing. He just sat there before. And said, Travis, you got to do this. Okay. And by when we left, then he began to, oh, I got to do this. I got to go there. I got to talk to this one. So he began to, got in, I don't know, you probably saw the difference, right? He began to get involved more. And now we can leave in peace. We know everything is okay. So the first thing is we're going to do is, Peter and Anita, we want to bless you. And I want to pray for you guys if you want to come right now. Yeah. Now, can you put 2 Timothy 2:2 on the board? Oh, you got it. You're good. Okay, come on in the middle. Okay. Now, behind every successful man, there is a woman, right? Beside her. And so we thought about it a lot. Neil, you want to come? Neil and Mark and Pastor Travis, Sharon? Okay. Because we're looking for ditch digger. Right? It says that I've heard about many witnesses commit these to a faithful man who will be able to teach other. And we figure, well, Peter is here a lot of time. He's got farming to do. You got kids at home. You got the nursery upstairs, not the Sunday school upstairs. They're in the trench. They're working hard. And their heart is here. So we that's why we ask so Peter to be on board, and she's right beside him. Because the church will be led more by the elder than the deacon, you know, with the new constitution that we're doing right now. It's all good. It's really good. It's really good. So we want to receive him and his wife, Peter and Anita. And I don't know if you have anything to say. Travis, Neil, or whatever. And today is a reception. Tomorrow might be a deception. You say, what did I get myself in? No, you know what you're getting yourself in yourself. Yes. Okay.
I think it's important. One of the things with eldership is it's another word for pastor or pastoring. You know, Peter's got some Bible school. He's got some credentials there, and one of the things that really spoke to me specifically was I kept hearing through the grapevine as I was preparing to meet with people that Peter and Anita would have people over, and they were spending time with people and talking to them about their spiritual life. And so they were already naturally doing the work of an elder. They were meeting and they were taking care of and under-shepherding under the Lord his people. And so as we prayed, we really felt strongly that this is a natural thing that the Lord has already begun to do, and we felt that We needed to catch up with the Lord on this one, so that's why we felt to ordain them. So it's not just, it's not about a title, it's about function. And when the function's there, you see the fruit of the position, then the title comes later. So.
Okay. You want to say anything?
Well, brother and sister, I don't know how many people know it, but I guess we've been together for close to 30 years, haven't we? So this is kind of touching for me to see this happen. But Margaret and I have been ministering with Peter and Anita, too, as she came on board, but with Peter for many, many years. This isn't something new for him. This is something God's done in him for, well, since he was a young lad. And he comes from a godly heritage, but he's also upkept the godly heritage, and that's what's so important. So, Peter, we just want to bless you, Lord God, and come into their spirit in a new way, Lord God. Show them the intensity, Lord God, of how much you love them, because you truly do. And Lord Jesus, we would just ask you now that as their young ones are coming up, Lord, that you will maintain that righteous standard, Lord God, that's in this family. We pray, Lord, for a broken heart, for those who are unlovely, for those who need help, for those, Lord God, who just can't seem to get over the hump on their own. But Lord, that we can walk with them, that we can help them, Jesus. Just as Pastor Jock spoke earlier, we're nobodies, and we're not. Lord, you are everybody, and we know that. And we want you, Jesus, to be glorified in Peter and Anita's life and in their conduct in the years ahead, we pray in Jesus' name.
This morning, Peter, I was pondering about you, and the Lord said Enoch, that you're an Enoch, that's your heart's desire is to walk with the Lord. And Enoch walked with the Lord. And the Lord sees that walk. It's a righteous walk. It's a faithful walk. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. And the Lord has found you faithful, and your beautiful helpmeet that he's brought along your side just fits into your side. And that's God's plan for man and woman, that the man would raise his arm and that the woman would come back in to the man where she was taken out of Adam. And that's happening with you and Anita. It's a beautiful thing. So bless you in the name of the Lord.
I just want to say I'm not just a friend, but just seeing your hearts. We've just fallen in love with your hearts for God and for people. And I'm totally blessed and excited to see you guys be released in this today. It's such a natural, just second what they said too. But we see a lot of the background work. And if you guys know their hearts, their hearts are just tremendous for you guys. Anytime there's a need or different things, these people carry you guys in prayer and in thoughts and in action. And there's a lot of sacrifice. You guys have made a lot of sacrifice, and I believe the Lord will bless every one of them. And that we just pray and release even the prophetic words that's been spoken over you guys, and we just speak them forth. As a church, we as leadership need you guys' prayers, so please keep them in your prayers too. And that for protection, because we're on the front line, and we all are, but as leadership, we get a lot of bullets, so we need you guys' prayers too. Bless you guys. We love you.
All right. So, brother, if I'd have a sword, I'd put it on your shoulder, but I don't have one. But, Father, we just want to thank you for them. Lord, we receive them, Father, as man or woman, Father, that will stand in front. Father, that they will be strong, Father, wise, Father, that, they, Lord, they would stand as an example to the family, Lord. Father, we would look at them and say, Lord, this is a man and a woman of God doing the works of God, Father. And Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, that we release them today in the name of Jesus to that function in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I also wanted to share, those of you know I've been here for 2 years now, that my parents have not only been natural parents, but spiritual parents. They've raised me and my two brothers to serve the Lord, And it's a great privilege because we're going to carry on what they've begun here, my wife and I. So we're excited about that. The one-year transition will start in March or April. But April 3rd, we're going to have a party here with John Finocchio is going to come. We'll have an official release service for a one-year transition or sabbatical, in which time we've left it open for them to come back on staff here and work at a pastoral capacity. So the plan is after the transition, they're going to come back and work here on pastoral staff. So you know, that's the plan. Unless, however, during their sabbatical, the Lord leads them in another ministry direction, that's going to be between them. So just wanted to kind of clarify that for you guys to know. So.
Amen. You want to sing? Come on.
I sing, that's it.
You sing? No, you do more than singing, all right. Yes. One thing about that verse, Paul was saying to Timothy was somebody that he was raising up in the faith. My question is, it's a personal question for you. Who are you raising today in the faith? And it's a very, very thing, you know, I'm not talking about raising somebody in your gifting. Raising somebody in the faith, be there for them, be a phone call away when they need you. It's kind of like somebody that is on AA and is calling his mentor because he's having a hard time. I'm talking about that. If each one of us would talk less in the kingdom of God and do more in that fashion, because he's talking here, he says, you know, you'd be able to commit this to faithful men. Some men, you know, that you're going to find, you're going to train, and they're going to become faithful. Remember that movie we saw not that long ago about the prayer there? I forget what it's called. Yeah. And at the end, she says, that was her prayer that God would send somebody else. Who are you mentoring? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's somebody you're working. Maybe it's two people you're working on. Every one of us is called to take somebody under our wing. The same way we took most of you here under our wing and ministered to you and prayed with you and did things and fun things or whatever we did. Because our life only starts when we start mentoring somebody. And you may have a lot of problems. And you say, well, I'm not fit to mentor anybody. No, but you can smile at somebody. You can talk to somebody. They'll see the love of Jesus in you. You know, Paul saw the love in Timothy, and he's saying to him, now you do the same thing. Go out there and commit to other men. So whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. Because half of you would say, well, I'm a woman. That's not for me. It's for you. All right. Do you want to sing? Well, you said that's how you... Oh, yeah. We got to forget about you. Okay. Okay, Leonard. Come on. We're going to... Yeah. All right. So, come on, you go ahead.
Okay, now I'll talk. How many would say that Leonard and Sylvia have been a blessing to this church? Now, they told me they've been here 10 years. Time flies, I can't believe. It's been 10 years. It's 9. Oh, they figured it out last night. 9 years. But, you know, time just flies. I was talking to Jane, and she said she's been here 3 years. And I thought, 3 years? It feels like last year. How many find time flies? It just disappears. I don't know. But anyway, we are pleased to have them working at Prospect with us. And they have just become, it hasn't been announced there yet, but they've just become assistant pastors. So they're going and taking some schooling and getting ready to do the work of the Lord. And we just appreciate them very much. We appreciate the gifting God has in them. So, that's it.
That's it. Wow, that's quick. So I just want to denote them. Is that denote the word? Note them. As giver. Okay? If I would say one word about them, they're giver. I don't know if some of you know them, but would agree with me that they're giver. They give, they give, they give their prayer, they give their time, they give all the time. And those who give all the time, they end up to be rewarded. You don't even know. You don't do it for the reward, but you can't outgive our God. And if you build a life of giving, then you end up a person that receives all the time, right? So they have given a lot to this place with their presence only, you know. I know Leonard is a man that listens and he doesn't talk too fast and he's right on. And Sylvia, she has a heart for a broken soul. She has a heart for people. So God is picking people that are working hard and he takes them to another level. You know, they're in the trench. Don't think you're going there to have a party and just do nothing, right? They're going to work and they're going to be part of the church. And it's the same thing for all of us here. Anything grows as much work as we put in and love and care. So it's our pleasure in the Spirit to release them. So I'm going to ask maybe Pastor Travis and Camilo just to come over. And Neil, if you want to come, you're still here? Okay. What? Peter. Oh, yeah, Peter. Peter, your first assignment. First assignment, release somebody. Come on. Come over here. Take the mic. We want to see. Come on.
Here we go. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You know, when Pastor Jacques was sharing there and just sitting back there looking at Leonard and Sylvia, and I just felt just the word abundance came to me, and that that the Lord is just, you're going to be speaking of an abundance that God has already been pouring in and releasing in you guys. So, amen. So, Father, we just declare, God, that abundance, Father, that you have been doing and working. And, God, your word even declares that, Father, out of the overflow of the heart, Lord God, that a man speaks. And Father, we just release this morning Sylvia and Leonard, that in the place now where their foot trods, God, that they'll bring forth that abundance that you've been pouring into their hearts, releasing in them, God. And Father, we just thank you that you're a God of multiplication. Yes, and even as Pastor Jacques was saying, that Father, when we work, when we labor, Father, you bring the reward of that. But God, it's even more than we pour in. It's even more than we give, because you're a God of multiplication, Lord. We just bless you, God. We thank you for that, that you are multiplying, God, what we do. And Father, thank you that as Leonard and Sylvia go out, God, that you're just going to multiply what they do, Father. I just pray a confidence and a boldness, Father, in them, in the things that they step out into, Lord God, that you will just cause them to know that, yes, God, this is of you. This is the step that you have for them. And as the song goes, no turning back. But, Lord, just moving forward, putting their hand to the plow and not looking back, Father God. And we just thank you, Father, this morning for this precious brother and sister that are stepping out into new, fresh things, God, in you. And we just thank you that in eternity, God, we're all going to see the abundance and the fruit that come forth, God, from the step of those who choose to step out in you and walk by faith. Hallelujah. Amen.
Does anyone have any anointing oil? Can you bring some up for me? That'd be awesome. I just felt as we were sitting here just to pray the prayer of faith together here for, I don't know where you guys are with your health, but just it's a sovereign protection over your health, of your physical bodies as you're moving forward. Thank you. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, right now for Leonard and for Sylvia, Father. We just declare, Father, that the same spirit, not a different spirit, but the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in them and quickens and makes alive their mortal body. So, Father, I thank you, Father, as they go forth with an agenda to further the kingdom of God, Father, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Rapha, their healer. So we just speak for that healing anointing that flows, Father, that it would flow into their bodies, Father. And we just declare, Lord, just a touch of healing over both of them in the realm of their bodies and their minds and their souls. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Good. So now you don't want to go? You have a second thought, no? Because all your friends are here, you have to make new friends. And the decision for them to leave this church was nothing to do with us. Their heart was there before even we were there. So it was a call of God in their life to move on. So that's why we're happy, because we say, hey, you come over there, do this. So there's none of that. None of that. It's just a heart call. And you know, it will come. Hard work will bring hard the call of God to come out sooner or later. So we bless you. Go and be strong in the Lord and in His power. Keep preaching the way you preach. And he's a good preacher now. He's pretty good. Yeah, he's good. People like him and everything.
I just want to give a little encouragement from part of my testimony too. There's a lot of movement today, and it's emotional sometimes to come and go, and we share our hearts, and it struggles because we're human beings. God calls us, and you know, when His call comes to our life, sometimes we struggle for a little bit before. There's always joy and there's always blessing when you obey God, though. But I just want to say, for me, even being a Swedish person, I left my country, my family, my friends behind, and in some ways I was released to come over here. Just quickly, my mom one time had had the question, isn't it hard to let go so far away? And she said, yes, but I would never dare to hold her back if God calls her to go. Same thing, but God has blessed me. I have family here. But did I forget about my family in Sweden and all my friends? No. Every time I go back, it's a party. It's a celebration. And, you know, I mean, we want to make sure that everybody that leaves, we're still part of the family. This is still mom and dad. This is still our sister and brother. And this is always going to be family. And it's always going to be celebration and joy when they come back.
Amen.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes. Maybe I'm going to ask somebody that knows these people, that spoke in their life or whatever, that helped them. Maybe you're nobody, right? You're nobody, they are nobody. Just to come and share, okay, I want to share that about Leonard and Sylvia. And it's not real. You would? I would never guess.
Well, I want to just say, when I first came to this church, I've always had struggles going into a new church as a single person. And Sylvia was one of the first women at this church, besides Pastor Sharon, who literally loved and welcomed me into this church. And I believe I came back again and again because of Sylvia and Leonard. And I just love you guys to bits. We had a great time on Thursday or Friday. Gloria will say, no, it was Friday we went out for lunch. It was an awesome time, and I won't miss you because I'll be coming out to see you. So,
okay, one more person. Okay, Larissa, come on. Larissa is our next preacher, right? Amen. Oh, yeah, we got to push her now.
First of all, I just want to say that I'm really sad to see you guys go because I love you guys so much, but I just want to let you guys know that they poured so much into my life. Like, they're like my spiritual parents, and I love them so much. I love you guys. And whenever I was going through anything, they were praying for me, and I'd pray for them, and I love you guys so much, and I know you guys are going to do amazing. And I bless you guys as well, and may God have His way in your life, and I pray that the same blessing and the same love that you've showed everybody here, that it'll double in the new church. Amen.
That's good. One more, and then we'll sing a song, a farewell song, whatever that is. Okay, we're going to praise God. And then we're going to have cake. We're going to have cake. We got a cake. I think it's big enough for every one of you, if you have a little bite. So okay. One more person that we need for a farewell. Come on. Huh? Okay, Owen, I mean, All right. I thought another woman would have come and cried, but it's Owen.
I don't usually cry. Sometimes I get choked up, though. But it's funny, the people that touch your lives in a church, you know. And it seems funny I cannot talk and not have my back to somebody. I apologize. But Leonard and Sylvie have done a lot of things in Paulette and ours' life. I came to the church 10 or 11 years ago, and I always have tons of weird questions, you know what I mean? And Leonard always has these answers, and Pastor Travis, too. Sometimes I'll ask Pastor Travis some questions, and he won't even give me an answer. I am so far off base with the question, it's not answerable. He says he'll figure out how wrong his question is on his own. I'll talk to him later. And that's how Leonard and Sylvia have been with me, too, and there's always a hug with both of them. But I do remember the very first time I was out at their home and how open their hearts are. Wherever they do go, whatever they do, is going to work 100% for them. Their hearts are so open and so generous. Went out there for supper, right? A bunch of us on a Sunday, when you took Sunday school, I think it was, right? And you had a big open house at your house, and we were all out there for supper. And there, you know, you don't just sit down at Sylvia and Leonard's place for supper. They put these platters of food out. I mean, there was enough food for 60 people. Yeah, the whole church, exactly. There they were serving us supper. You couldn't eat enough, and it was awesome. When the R group started up last year, right, Paulette was away for two or three of the first sessions, right? Well, who stepped up to the plate to run the R group? Because I didn't have the confidence to run the R group myself. I have a lot of questions, like I say. You know what I mean? And Leonard and Sylvia stepped up, came up and ran it for us. And I was sitting there today with one of my weird questions, right? I'm saying, look at Joseph and Mary, right? And you think about things that God puts in your path as difficulties. How would you like to be Joseph, sitting there at the abuse he would have taken, having Mary go back 3 months before the birth of Jesus, and think of what Joseph had to contend with? His wife was pregnant. She was openly saying that she did not have the baby with him. It was... what's the word I need, Leonard? Help me. Immaculate conception. Immaculate conception, right? So right from the get-go with Jesus, God starts off with this horrible thing that Joseph's got to deal with. And you think about that for a minute. Wow. But that's where my mind goes, and that's where these two people have always helped me out, and I'm really going to miss it. You want some other weird questions? Come and see me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I wasn't sure they were going to pass the mic over, so I just thought I would take the initiative too. But I do want to thank those that were here at the very beginning when we were upstairs, back 9 or 10 years ago. And when we came, it was 8 or 9 years ago. But we want to thank those that poured into our lives to get us back on track. There were, back at that time, that man over there was probably the big hugger at that time and taught us, most of us, how to hug. Hey, Pierre, get over here. So this is the man here that probably gave me the... God bless you, brother. This is the man that gave me probably the first hug coming in here. And appreciate that. But we do appreciate all of those that have ministered into our lives, but those that have allowed us to minister into your lives as well, because you've been very open to that. And really appreciate that. And hey, we're all one family. Still, we're all part of the family of God. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he will empower us by his Holy Spirit to go forward. Do you have anything to say? You want to... Okay. But we do pray for this church going forward, that the anointing of God is going to rest upon each and every one of you, and that you're going to go forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Travis and this eldership are going to need you to stand in the gap for them in prayer, but also to get up and help them do certain things. So just take that challenge, okay? Anyone that's new, and there are quite a few new ones here today that I don't really even know. But after a month or two, it's time to stand up and start getting involved. God bless you all.
All right. Thank you. So what are you going to do there? You have to go?
Worship team.
Okay, where's our worship team? Now, Leonard and Sylvia are going to cut the cake over there. And you can talk to them and whatever.